Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I'm just glad we're all still friends.
I am too. It's a good day. We're all still friends. We're all on the program together. It's good stuff.
We'll see how we are in 15 minutes.
Yeah, 15 minutes.
Let's
we'll see. Let's see how it goes. Corey, obviously, really impressive couple of games, at least in my opinion, from Will Levis. What is fair? Mm-hmm. What is an overreaction in your mind if you're a Titans fan today based on the way that Will Levis has played through two games? How excited should Titans fans be?
I think it's okay to be excited and encouraged, but those anointing him like the next great one, it's a little early for that, right? I mean, we've seen quarterbacks flash in their rookie years before for a variety of reasons. I think when I watch Will, what I get most excited about are his preparation, his command, and his confidence. And you see it with some superior arm talent as well. And, you know, when you're able to put those things together, that's when you've got something. I think that is just what has impressed me most, that the moment has in no way been too big for him. Does that mean he hasn't made mistakes? No, it does not. But it's not because he's scared or unprepared. And I think that's what is exciting. That's what you should be excited about, is you've got a guy who's ready to take on one of the greatest challenges in all of professional sports, and that's playing pro quarterback.
So do you expect that he'll continue that pursuit Sunday in Tampa Bay, or will he be cheering on Ryan Tannehill from the sideline?
Well, I mean, I just can't fathom him not being that way, not being the starter. I can't. I mean, I understand, you know, Tannehill's the veteran. I also understand he's probably still not 100%. I mean, a high ankle sprain is bad. Those can take a while. And, you know, he's got the goods. I mean, it's just hard to put him back on the bench. And you know and I know, all the times we have heard Vrabel, we've always asked him definitively, you know, is Ryan your starter when he's healthy? Yes, Ryan's our starter when he's healthy. Yes, Ryan's our starter when he's healthy. And what did he say last week? We'll see.
Yep.
You know, not prepared to answer that question. And to me, not prepared to answer that question means, no, he's not, but I don't want to state it publicly.
So, Corey, what about this division? We've got the Levis part of this. It's two games, so there's mm-hmm. still a long way to go. Stroud yep. has been incredible so far this yep. year. Richardson, before he got hurt, showed some flashes. And then there's Trevor Lawrence, the grizzled veteran at the age of 24 out there with Jacksonville. What do you make of where this division is, where their quarterbacks, and maybe what this means for the next, I don't know, 3, 5, 10 years with quarterback play in this division?
I mean, it's shades of, you know, having Staubach, Theismann, and Jaworski all rolling out in the NFC.
I love it.
I mean, was Sims the quarterback yet in New York at that point?
I don't know if Sims was quite. And Jaworski kind of didn't really cross much, right?
Yeah, okay, I didn't think so. And, you know, Staubach, that was probably the transition from Staubach to White.
Danny White, yeah.
Danny White, who was still pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I wish kids could have seen Staubach play, though.
Not to be confused with the Tennessee athletic director, Danny White.
No, not the same one at all. You should be excited about the, you know, we've seen our share of subpar quarterback play in the AFC South. So I think it's exciting to see a bunch of young guys who could be, you know, who could be it. I mean, when you watch some of the highlights from C.J. Stroud, I mean, he doesn't just throw the ball. I mean, he is throwing accurately with great velocity, great conviction. I mean, I saw some of those throws yesterday, and I'm like, wow, this is a problem.
Yeah.
This is going to be a problem for a while. And I don't hate Trevor Lawrence. I hate that people want to put him in the top five, you know, when the season started and everything, because I'm like, he's done nothing to be anointed that, absolutely nothing. He's a good young quarterback. I heard you guys talking earlier about how he had not been dissected like the other guys. I think there's some truth to that. There's people, you know, because he was supposed to be the guy, there's people looking to anoint him. You know, he can just be good. You know, that's possible, and it's okay. He can be good. But also the other thing is with him is the pool size is bigger from what you've seen from him.
Yep.
Now the pool size is smaller with him with an actual adult as his head coach. So, you know, there's a difference there as well, but you know, you're seeing a good player. You know, I wouldn't put him with Burrow and with Mahomes and some of those guys just yet, but I'm excited to see where this division is, you know, in a year or two. I don't hate Anthony Richardson. I've got nothing against Anthony Richardson. I'm just going to say this. I said it when I watched him play his first 2 weeks. He's never going to last. If they're going to continue to play him like they played him to start the season, he will never last. He'll be out of the league in 4 years because physically he won't stay healthy. I could be wrong, and I could have a Twitter of bad takes exposed. That's fine. I'm willing to ride on that limb. You know, he's gotta have a staff that's willing to protect him because he's not indestructible. He can't run around and put his head down and take on linebackers and safeties. He won't make it. And also, he's a talented athlete. You know, why not teach him to play the position and let him play the position and let him play it for 10 years instead of just getting killed?
So, Corey, Ben Volin of the Boston Globe has an interesting report over the weekend about the Patriots' future at head coach. Basically, you know, suggests, I guess it's not a surprise to hear this, but two sources in the organization tell him that Vrabel is the name on the hope chest there. So what do you make of that? What do you make about that, like, from the Titans' perspective? Like, if you're Amy Adams Strunk and you see that, what do you make of that?
Well, first of all, like you said, that's not surprising to anyone, is it? I mean, you always look, like, for connections to your organization for the next guy. And that, I think that is that. Because, like, if Vrabel left, what would be the first name that comes up here? Probably Arthur Smith?
Yeah.
I mean, so we all make those connections. And, you know, Mike has largely done a good job here. So it's not surprising. And, you know, if you're Amy Adams Strunk, it's a compliment, right? It's a compliment that they think you've hired somebody good and you have somebody good running your show. He's also got value. You can look at it from that aspect. But you have to determine, you know, what's most important, you know, within your organization. Now, I don't know. Do we know definitively how long his contract extension was for?
I don't think so, do we, Vrabel?
That was 5 years.
There you go, 5 years.
5 years, okay. So they've got him for 4 more years.
Correct.
All right? Okay. I am willing to bet that Bill Belichick does not last 4 more years, okay? And so you've got control of him when that coaching change happens. So you just have to know. I mean, I think you have to just be deciding now, you know, figuring out now, you know, what's our plan? You know, if they come after him, are we going to entertain this or not? And if we are going to entertain it, how much value do we put on it? You know, and that's a decision, you know, for her. And I would say for Ran, but, you know, that depends on what you think the power structure is. So it might just be a decision for her on what to do there. But again, I don't think it's something to fear, I guess, is what I'm saying, because you've got control of him. This isn't college football. He can't just leave and go do it.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, ultimately, it's your decision, right? So, like, if you're the Titans, if you're Amy Adams Strunk, what would the compensation be for you to actually seriously consider this? Because I think we all agree, at least the three of us agree, that Vrabel is a good coach. So what would it take for you to actually seriously consider this if you're Amy Adams Strunk and the Titans?
The Bucs got 2-1s for Gruden,
yeah.
Right? And he had not won a Super Bowl at that point.
Correct.
Did the Broncos get compensation? I mean, did the Saints get compensation for Sean Payton?
That's a good question. I need to go look that up.
I think they did.
Did they?
I think so. I'm not positive, but I think they did.
It's certainly, it's precedented.
Yes. Hey, look, there would have to be at least one first-round pick, okay? And then beyond that, you know, what you would want. You know, like I said, the precedent with Gruden, now that's a long time ago precedent, it was two ones. It also depends on how bad you want to keep him. You know, because if you really want to keep him, then it's a non-starter, and you just say, no, he's our coach.
Right.
But if you're actually willing to discuss it, then there is a price. There is a price that you're willing to pay and are willing to take. And so, you know, just, you know, this Patriot team's not very good right now. You know, their ones are pretty good. So maybe that would be the case. You know, maybe you like Mike, but you think maybe this is as far as he can take us. And so we'll take two ones and restart the clock. You know, I guess I started two ones because that's the precedent. And he's a good coach who they want, evidently. And so you get to call the shots. And if you're going to call the shots, you got to call them pretty high.
By the way, Denver sent a first and a second round pick for Sean Payton, and the Saints also sent back a third to Denver, so kind of a pick
and
swap there.
And this was for a coach who wasn't coaching anymore.
Correct. So you got that, and the Gruden one was, and Jared has texted in, Gruden was two ones and two twos. Two ones. Yeah, two ones and two twos for Gruden. That was a heck of a haul.
Yeah. So it's got to be at least two ones, though.
It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Corey, great stuff as always. Thanks for taking time to be with us this week.
Well, you're welcome. Congratulations. I've heard from my sources up in Green Bay that LaFleur is, you know, having won another game, received a lifetime extension and full control of a personnel.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Oh, there we go. He deserves it.
Yeah.
Apparently he does these handshakes where he like grips his own hand as they're highlighting it right now on the NFL Network. It's great stuff.
And maybe you guys could have me back tomorrow and we could talk about the exciting future of the quarterback position in the NFC North.
Yes, absolutely. I'm sure it's a lot to be excited about in the North right now. Well, shout out to Josh Dobbs.
You know, when Jared Goff is like the godfather of the position in your division, I mean, and I don't hate Jared Goff, but I mean, come on, he's Jared Goff.
All due respect.
I said all due respect. Right. I sure get to say whatever I want.
Thank you, Corey. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll get more into the Vrabel story coming next. A lot of your thoughts on that earlier in the show. We'll open those back up on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What do you make of the report from the Boston Globe that Robert Kraft apparently would really like Mike Vrabel to be Bill Belichick's successor in New England? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.